This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Step in any grocery store or restaurant these days and you're bound to be offered something pumpkin or apple flavored, filled, or shaped. Add to that displays of cascading squashes, pumpkins, pears, and apples, and you may notice the onset of fall food overload. Here to help us get a fresh perspective on fall's rich bounty with some tips and recipes for seasonal produce is J.M. Hirsch, food editor for the Associated Press and author of several cookbooks, most recently Beating the Lunchbox Blues. J.M., welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much.
Pumpkin, by far, star food of the fall produce.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So maybe I've had my share of pumpkin bread. What are some new ways to incorporate this?
Okay, well, you know, there's all manner of different pumpkins. You know, first of all, you're going to encounter in the can at the grocery store. And the reality is, there is no shame in canned pumpkin, okay? It is actually, the taste and the texture are going to be better for pies and for custards and puddings than a fresh pumpkin will. The water content on a fresh pumpkin is totally different. And no matter how much you puree, I don't care how powerful a food processor you got, you are not going to get that same smooth consistency that a professional processor will. First of all, you're going to have to carve up the pumpkin. You're going to have to scrape out the seeds. You're going to have to peel it. Then you're going to have to cook it. Then you're going to have to puree it. Then you're going to have to get rid of the what? Don't bother. Open up a can. There's no shame in it. There's some very good brands out there. And then once you've done that, and of course, you can make your pie, you can make your pudding, you can make your custards. You can also put it in some smoothies. Okay. Say a quarter cup of it into a smoothie. Wow. That is incredible. A yogurt or a milk-based smoothie, put a pinch of cinnamon in there. Don't forget the pinch of salt just to bring out all the flavors. Maybe even some applesauce in there if you've just got back from the orchard and you made some applesauce. Throw that in there too. All right. Now, while you've got that can open, because you're not going to use the whole can in a smoothie, right?
Right. Okay.
Make some pancakes.
Okay. Pumpkin pancakes.
Yes. Substitute an equivalent amount of canned pumpkin for about two-thirds of the liquid in most pancake recipes. Okay? And if you want to make it really healthy, you can switch to whole wheat flour. And you've got your beautiful pumpkin pancakes. Throw some cinnamon in there, a little bit of nutmeg. You're good to go. Now, remember, you got some of that applesauce that you're throwing into your...
Of course.
Okay. All right. Well, that belongs on top of the pumpkin pancakes. Now, the applesauce has to be warm. And to tie it all together, a pat of butter on top of the warm applesauce on top of your pumpkin pancakes.
Okay. All right. So breakfast is taken care of.
Breakfast is taken care of.
Tell me what you would do for dinner. I mean, I found myself, J.M., I mean, it's not even that cold outside, but I really do come home and I want pasta. I want something warm.
Oh, pasta. Okay. Well, here's what I would do. Get your fresh pumpkin. Now, okay, we're done with the canned pumpkin.
Okay.
We're done. All right, moving on to the fresh pumpkin, finally. All right, well, you know what? Treat it just like you would a butternut squash, okay? So you're going to peel it.
Yeah.
You're going to scoop out the gloop and the seeds and all that stuff inside, and then you're going to chop it up into small pieces. Go for like a quarter-inch dice. You want some pretty small pieces there, and don't get anal about how, you know, whether they're perfectly square or whatever. Nobody cares about that. All right, chop them up really fine. Throw them in a skillet with some butter or some olive oil, maybe a little bit of garlic, and saute them. Keep them moving. You don't have to worry about it too much, but keep them moving so that they're browned and tender and nice and crispy on the outside. Meanwhile, you get your pasta going. A whole grain is particularly nice because you've got a big, robust flavor on the pumpkin. You want a big, robust pasta. When your pasta is done, don't even drain it. Just use a big scoop so that you get a little bit of the water still clinging to the pasta.
Uh-huh.
Okay, just scoop it right out and throw it right into the skillet with the pumpkin. Toss it around, throw some Parmesan cheese in there. That starchy water that clung to the pasta, that's going to mix with the pumpkin and with the cheese, and it's going to make an amazing sauce. Throw in a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, you're done. Dinner on the table in 20 minutes.
Okay. So what do we move on to now? Apples?
Now, okay, well, first of all, you can add apples to almost any thick soup. Like if you're doing a butternut squash soup or a pumpkin soup, you could do that too. Add a couple of apples when you're simmering it and then puree it right in. It adds this gorgeous sweet flavor to it. You know, it's not overbearing. It's not like sugary, but it brings out kind of the natural sweetness of the butternut squash or the pumpkin or whatever else you put in there. And then, of course, you can also add it to chili. Apples add it's delicious. When you get your tomatoes in there and your ground beef or your steak or whatever you choose to use for your meat, and you really are finely diced and peeled. Peeled is key for chili. It's going to just bring out and tie everything together that with kind of, again, that real subtle natural sweetness. It's amazing. But let's pretend you're not that adventurous and you just want to do applesauce. There are so many ways that you can improve your applesauce, okay? Because most people just chop up the apples, throw them in a pan with some water and some sugar. Mm. That's the first rule. Get rid of the sugar. Apples are sugar bombs. You don't need it. And what you're doing is you're covering the natural sweetness and the natural flavors of the apples. Okay? So ditch the sugar.
Okay.
Two, add a splash of vinegar or a splash of lemon juice. Not a lot, just a touch. Okay? Because that acts like salt. It's going to heighten the natural sweetness of the apples. So again, getting rid of the sugar, add a little splash of lemon, a little splash of acid, basically. You could use lime juice, although I think that's a little too assertive. Number three, add a pinch of salt. It's going to act in much the same way as the acid. It's going to kind of tie all the other flavors together and highlight them and kind of bring them out and make them pop. Okay, you don't want to add a lot, just like a little pinch between your fingers. Four, cinnamon, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Five, a pinch of cardamom, ground cardamom.
Oh, I love this one.
It has such a like a an almost buttery richness to it that you don't expect from a spice. And again, you don't want much, just a little bit. And finally, the most important thing, finish it with butter.
Butter.
Butter. Oh, because it's that gorgeous, lush
butter.
Fat that brings out the sweetness. It plays so nicely against the acid. And by the way, I should add that apples are naturally slightly acidic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to get that kind of that acidic play with the fattiness of the butter. And it just kind of mellows everything and brings everything together. And it is amazing.
Well, J.M. Hirsch is with us. He's bringing us through some unexpected ways to deal with fall's bounty. We see him every year, the same kind of ingredients, and he's dressing him up a little bit for this fall. He is a food editor for the Associated Press and author and blogger for Beating the Lunchbox Blues. Any unsung heroes of the fall garden that you can think of?
You know, I think there are so many different squash options out there these days that we tend to totally overlook them. And they're so delicious roasted, just straight up roasted. You know, we all think of the butternut. And, you know, butternut is delicious. And you can use it in so many ways. But there are a lot of squashes out there, like acorn and kombucha, I believe it's pronounced, that are bright, bright red, you know, beautiful, beautiful squash that you can just slice right in half, scoop out the seeds. You don't even need to peel them. And you know, throw some seasonings in there, a little bit of olive oil, and throw them in the oven at like 400 degrees for about half an hour, 45 minutes, or until they're beautifully tender. And then you just scoop them out, roasted just like that, and they're so delicious. And, you know, one squash that I think tends to get a bad name is the spaghetti squash. It is actually delicious, but the trick to using it is to not try to pretend that it's spaghetti. I think the worst thing that the spaghetti squash growers ever did to themselves was name it spaghetti squash because it tastes nothing like spaghetti. And no matter how much, you know, spaghetti sauce you put on that, it is not going to taste like spaghetti.
So what do you do with it?
I cut it in half. I scrape out the seeds, but of course you don't scrape too much because you want the fibers intact because you're eating the fibers.
Right.
And then I just throw it upside down in a roasting pan. I don't even bother to put any water in. I don't want to steam it. And that's, I think, one of the mistakes that a lot of people make with spaghetti squash. They add water to the pan and they think they should be steaming it, but you don't because it's actually a really water-intense vegetable and it's already very watery. If you add more water, that's why a lot of people don't like it because it waters down whatever you're doing.
Mm.
So put it in dry, roast it again at like 400 degrees for, I don't know, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes or until it's nice and tender. Pull it out, let it cool because you got to handle it in order to get it out and it gets blazing hot. Pull it out, scrape it out, and then you dress it as you would like dry noodles. So don't add spaghetti, you know, spaghetti sauce to it. That's just, no. Now, what you want to do is some grated Parmesan, some grated Pecorino. Toss it with that, a little bit of fresh garlic, not, you know, just grate the whole clove right into it and toss that. And if it's a little dry, which it shouldn't be because, again, spaghetti squash generally is rather moist, but you could put a splash of, you know, milk or you could put a splash of cream. Mm-hmm. Would be delicious. That's the way I'd go. A little bit of heavy cream in there and toss it with the cheese and it's going to melt and it's going to be almost like a risotto.
Well, JM, thank you so much for joining us. You've brightened up my autumn quite a bit so far.
Thank you so much.
JM Hirsch, food editor for the Associated Press and author of the book Beating the Lunchbox Blues, among others. He'll be at Gibson's Bookstore in Concord next week, Wednesday, October 23rd, to talk about spicing up your midday meal. He'll also be doing a cooking demonstration, and you can find more in the event and links to the recipes that we talked about at wordofmouthradio.org. And why not share your favorite fall recipe based around apple, pumpkin, or another late-season garden veggie? You can post them on our Facebook page or on Twitter.